And we're going to introduce our 10-minute speaker. Please welcome our 10-minute speaker, Andrew, to the podium.
Thank you. Okay, my name is Drew and I'm an alcoholic. To start off, I just want to let you all know that I am very afraid of speaking in front of large groups. So if I act nervous, it is because I am nervous. But today, I face my fears. I own my fears, and that's something that I've learned in here in Alcoholics Anonymous, is to not run from my emotions, but to deal with them. So that's what I'm doing right now today. I did have to write down a little bit of stuff, so you'll have to forgive me. To start off, I did want to thank Cody for asking me to do this, for giving me an opportunity to serve, because that's what this program is about, is getting out of yourself and being of service to another human being, and that's what the steps teach you. I do have a sobriety date. It's January 23rd, 2014, coming up on about 21 months. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. He would be here right now, but he is being of service somewhere else, because that is what we do in this program. I am working the steps as well. I guess we don't have any newcomers, but in case there are any newcomers out there who didn't identify, I just want to let you know that it does get easier. We do this program one day at a time, like they say, and if you just keep coming back, you know, it seems difficult right now, but things are going to get better, I can promise you that. So I'm going to share a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. To start off, I grew up in a religious family, but it wasn't necessarily spiritual. I grew up being expected to kind of portray this perfection. We were the perfect family. You know, if something was wrong, you didn't say anything about it. You just acted like everything was fine. And so I never really gained tools to learn how to address feelings that I have inside that made me uncomfortable. So when I learned that there was this thing called alcohol that could make that uncomfortableness go away, oh man, that was my friend so quickly. The first drink of alcohol I ever had actually was Listerine, because I didn't even know what alcohol could do, but I knew from what I had seen in the media and that it could change the way I felt inside, and that's what I wanted. So I drank Listerine. I really didn't get drunk from that, but that didn't stop me. The next drink I had was, and this is how I know I was an alcoholic before I even drank, was a beer that I stole. Didn't even know what alcohol did, but I stole that beer because I wanted to stop feeling the way that I was feeling inside. And so that is, from there to becoming a blackout drinker was a very short period of time. I didn't progress slowly like some people do. I drank because I didn't want to feel anymore. I didn't want to remember. I thought social gatherings were focused around the substances that were going to be used. I thought we all got together not to hang out with each other, but to just get completely wasted, and that's what I did. Many, many times. Some of my friends say they're surprised that I'm in this program because I wasn't really a angry drunk or I didn't do any crazy things. But they don't understand what was going on inside. They don't understand why I was drinking and that I couldn't stop when I wanted to stop. Another reason that I know I'm an alcoholic, you know, I don't have to start crazy bar fights. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I just have to know that I don't like the person that I am when I'm drinking. But before this program, I also did not like the person I was when I wasn't drinking. So I was in a real perplexing situation. In my drinking career, I did something that they call geographic in this program, and I didn't know that that's what it was until I got here. But I would live for somewhere for about 2 or 3, maybe 4 years. And in that time when I would first get there, I would start a new job, get a new place, find new friends, you know, always people that drank like I did. But I would feel like, oh, things were going good in my life, you know. And I could ignore some of the negative aspects of what I was doing because I could say, oh, well, I have a job and I'm paying rent and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, you know, I'm a good person. But slowly I would stop making those first steps of progress because I wasn't doing any work on myself inside. I wasn't progressing in my job because all I could get was dead-end jobs. And then I would cycle into this just really, really bad drinking. And then I would decide, I would make this decision, man, something really needs to change. It must be where I'm living. It must be all the people around me. I'm going to move away from here and everything's going to be great. Did that, I counted it up probably 6 or 7 times. I was, like I said, I would live somewhere about 3 years, 2 or 3 years, something like that. And I think it's a Buddhist saying, but it is, wherever you go, there you are. You know, I would move and I would start that cycle again, but all my problems, they come right along with me. They were still there, they didn't go anywhere, and I didn't know how to face them. I didn't have the tools to do it. I didn't know who to ask to do it. So it would just continue until I got my first DUI. And then they decided that I should probably go into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a pretty easy thing to do to get this DUI taken care of. I still really didn't think that I had a problem, you know. I got caught, you know, if only I had left it 30 minutes later or 30 minutes sooner, or, you know, there was all these other excuses apart from maybe it was the drinking that was the problem. So I came into the rooms, but I really didn't work a program. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't try to change anything about myself. I just went to meetings. And I did that for about a year. I stayed sober for about a year. And I stopped going to meetings. And I stayed sober for about 6 more months. This whole time, I was a dry drunk, as they call it. When people talk about being a dry drunk, I know how that is because it is miserable. It's horrible. I didn't have the alcohol any longer to make all those things inside me, all those feelings inside me, all the emptiness. I know that sounds like the opposite of what I was just saying, but it was an emptiness inside me that I wanted to go away, this feeling of nothingness. And I couldn't make that go away because I wasn't drinking anymore and I didn't know what to do with it. Of course, I wasn't listening to the suggestions in the meeting, like get a sponsor or work the steps, stuff like that. That inevitably led to DUI number 2. After I moved away, finished up with that DUI there, thought, you know what needs to change? I need to move again. So I moved and got another DUI. And it was at that point that I really reached my, what we call incomprehensible demoralization. To keep it less graphic, there, you know, my drinking was to the point of waking up and wondering what I had spilled on my lap the night before and realizing maybe I hadn't spilled anything. And, you know, that really didn't slow down my drinking, strangely. When I look back on it now, I do realize the insanity of that, but it was like, that's fine, I just will try to control my drinking, which I've been doing for 13 years unsuccessfully. So it wasn't until I found myself driving again drunk and wondering, why am I doing this? How can I be doing this after all of that I've gone through and been through? And thinking, you know, I didn't want to drink and that I was a slave to this alcohol and I didn't know how to get free of it. And it crossed my mind to just maybe crash my tree into a, or my car into a tree, because I didn't know what else to do. I was that hopeless that there was just nothing left for me. And luckily, crazy other thoughts popped in, like, what if I don't die? That doesn't seem like a good situation. I did try driving, just letting it go for a little while. Then I worried about if I don't die or if I kill someone else. And it was at that point that I realized that I really needed to get some help, because I was either going to kill myself or I was going to have to try something different. I don't even know what it was. So I checked myself into a rehab, and it was there that I really got this program. And there, at that bottom point of desperation, not knowing what else to do, that I was willing to try anything. And you know, that's the point that a lot of us come in here, is that we're willing to try anything. And you know, after that, things started to change for me. I had what they called a garden variety spiritual experience. It was slow, but it still continues today. And I know that if you come in here and you do what is suggested, you get a sponsor, you work the steps, that you too can have a change. You don't have to continue living the life that you had before, because I am not living that life. I'm living a life that, you'll hear it, and we've all heard it, that's beyond my wildest drunken dreams. And for that, I'll forever be eternally grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous and all the people who come into these rooms and share their story with me, because they were my inspiration to show me that I could do it too. And with that, I will close. Thank you for letting me be a servant.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
And please welcome...